Welcome to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, Pastor Greg Barr continues his sermon series, I Doubt It. His message, Why Is There So Much Suffering in the World? Now from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, here's Minister to Youth, Brian Johnson.
Good morning, and welcome to St. Matthew's Baptist Church. We are so grateful that you chose to worship with us this morning as we come to learn, as we come to express our praise to God, and as we come to see what God's Word has for us this morning. We come to worship. May we put aside all that is burdening us. May we listen for the Word of God, and may we worship together. Let's pray. God, we ask this morning that you open our hearts to your word. Open our minds to the things that you are saying to us. And God, may we leave this place a little bit different, a little bit more like you. Be with us in this time. In your name we pray. Amen.
Together. God, if we could just believe that you will take care of us. Your word tells us that if you take care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, that you'll take care of us because we're of so much more value than they. But if only we could believe that and live like we did, if only we could trust you in the big things and the small things of our lives. God, help us to learn the value of trusting you, of believing that you're at work for our best in the circumstances of our lives. Help us to experience your word today. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, poor Chippy the parakeet, he had a bad day. One minute he's perched up on his cage, happily singing, and everything is right in Chippy's world. And the next thing you know, he's been sucked in, washed up, and blown over. Well, it all happened when his owner got the idea that she was going to clean up his cage using the vacuum cleaner. What could possibly go wrong? She took off the attachment and stuck the hose inside the cage to clean it up. And everything was going great until the phone rang. She turned around to answer the phone. And the next thing you know, Chippy gets sucked up into the vacuum cleaner. She's terrified. She can't believe what she's done. She's in a panic. She puts down the phone and she turns off the vacuum cleaner and very slowly begins unzipping the bag. And there was Chippy, alive, but stunned. The bird was all covered with dirt and dust. And so she did the only thing a loving pet owner could do. She took him upstairs and turned on the faucet in the bathroom and stuck Chippy under the water to try to wash all that dirt and dust off of him. And finally, she realized that she was drowning this bird. And so she turned off the water and Chippy just sat there shivering. And so, again, she did what any compassionate person would do in a moment like that. She grabbed the hairdryer and she blasted Chippy with hot air. Well, somehow a local news reporter got word of Chippy's situation and this whole story. And so the newspaper writer called and asked if he could come by and talk to her. And so he did. And so during the course of their conversation, after she'd recounted the story, he asked, "How's Chippy doing now?" And she replied, "Well, yeah, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just kind of sits and stares." Have you ever felt like Chippy? My guess is we all have, haven't we? But one minute everything is right in your world. One minute everything is sunshine and sailing along. And the next thing you know, the rug gets pulled out from under you. A rejection letter arrives in the mail. Some medical tests don't come back like you wanted. The divorce papers get served. And all of a sudden, your once bright and cheery day has been blasted apart by a whirlwind. And you're trying to figure out, how can I pick up the pieces and keep going in the midst of this new reality? Perhaps you're left wondering, how can bad things like this happen? Have you ever thought about stuff like that? If God is good and God is loving, how can bad things happen in our world? How can there be so much suffering and evil in our world? Why do hurricanes destroy islands and villages and towns and cities, taking homes and people without a second thought? Why do so many thousands of children die every year from diseases that we have immunizations that will prevent in this country? Why does it seem like every day when you turn on the news or pick up a paper or look at your feed online that there's been another mass shooting somewhere in this country? Why is there so much hatred and violence in the world? Why doesn't God just deliver us from this election cycle? Or maybe that's just me. You know, for centuries, philosophers and theologians and thinkers have tried to talk and to think about this question, to find some answer to it. Why is there suffering and evil in the world? And nobody has come up with a perfect answer yet, and I don't think we'll be likely to today, but we're going to do the best we can. Paul talked about how, as insightful as we might try to be, that our understanding is limited. Look at what he said in Romans 11:33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has become his counselor? Paul doesn't say it's hard to fully understand the mind of God. He says it's impossible for us to fully understand the mind of God. And so, as much as we can, even though we have limited understanding, let's try to think about this question together a little while this morning. And to do so, let's go back to the beginning, because in the beginning, I don't think that evil and suffering were part of God's plan for creation. If you look at the story of creation in the book of Genesis, you see a pattern emerging. God creates something, and then God proclaims it is good. God creates the lights, the stars, the moon, the skies. God says it's good. God creates the trees and the flowers and the plants, and God says they're good. God creates the animals that populate the earth, and God says they're good. And then God creates human beings in his own image and says they're very, very good. And God created us. God created human beings in his image. God created them to live in harmony and relationship with God, with each other, and with the world around them. This is life as it was intended to be in the beginning. They were made to last forever. In the beginning, there was no pain. There was no envy. There was no greed. There was no violence. There was no illness. It was life as God intended it to be. The Hebrew word shalom kind of captures it a bit. Shalom meaning the idea of peace, of fullness, of harmony. This is the world that God created. But when God created human beings, God took a great risk, because God gave us free will. We're not puppets. We're not robots. We're free to make our own choices. We can make choices for good or for evil. We could choose to follow God's path or make our own. And so God created these human beings in his image and placed them in this paradise called Eden. They were fully loved by God. God cared for them in every way and met their every need. But they had a choice to make. As free agents, they could choose to follow God's path for life or choose their own. They could trust in God or trust in their own wisdom. And if you remember the tempter in the garden, what the promise was, he says, you can be like God. He can be your own God. You can choose your own path for life. And so when Adam and Eve sinned, it didn't just result in their own guilt and shame. It began a collapse of this idea of shalom, this idea of fullness and peace and harmony in the world. So that even the creation itself, God said in Genesis 3:17, told Adam, cursed is the ground because of you. Even the creation was corrupted by sin. This perfect world became a place of thorns and weeds. In Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about how even the creation itself cries out and groans for redemption. And everything that had once been designed to work together would no longer work together in harmony. There was no pain before, but now there would be pain. There was no violence before, but now there would be violence. There were no natural disasters before, but now there would be natural disasters. There was no murder before, but just a generation from this time, there would be murder entering our world. There was no death before, but now human beings would die. It's the result of sin in the world and sin in our lives. And most of the suffering that we see, or at least a good bit of it, in our world is the result of sin, the result of the choices that people make. What happened in Orlando in a club, What happened a few weeks ago at a mall in Washington State, what happened a couple of weeks ago at a school in Townville, South Carolina, was not because God caused it, but it was the choice of someone who decided to set about to cause evil and destruction, to bring about pain in the lives of others. And we'd like to think that the world could be easily divided into good, into evil, that we could be one and they could be the other, that we could divide the world into us and them. But the truth is that sin is in all of us. Romans 3:23 tells us that, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And sin is what causes us to lie when it's convenient for us. Sin is what causes us to covet what our neighbor has. Sin is what causes little boys and little girls to be sold into sexual slavery. Sin is why thousands and hundreds of thousands in our world starve to death while others have plenty. We want to blame God for issues of famine and starvation in the world, when the truth is that these are issues we could solve if we simply loved God and loved our neighbor as ourselves. But instead, we love ourselves far too much, and we just love people who are like us. And those are the people for whom we're most concerned. And even some of the natural disasters that we see in the world, if scientists are right, are caused by our own actions, are the result of the decisions that we have made about how we have treated this creation over which God has given us stewardship responsibility. And sometimes we suffer for our own sins. Sometimes we suffer for someone else's decisions. No one would choose to be the victim of spousal abuse or child abuse. That's the result of the choices someone else makes. And someone suffers for it. A person has too much to drink and get in a car and begin to drive. A teenager decides to return a text message while they're driving the car, and a family who's just going out to have a nice dinner is hit by a car and a child dies. It's the result of the choice someone else makes. So could God stop it? Why doesn't God stop things like that? Couldn't God intervene? Well, certainly an all-powerful God could intervene and could stop things in our world, but at what cost? If God takes away our human freedom to keep us from doing things that are sinful or evil, then we're not free. If God were to suspend natural laws, there are natural laws that we depend on to help us make sense of how the world works. And if God were to regularly suspend things like gravity or inertia or motion, then how could we make sense of the world in which we live? God can't change a logical contradiction into a non-contradiction without changing the premise. For example, it can't rain and not rain in the same place because they're conflicting prayers. Two armies fighting against each other, both of them can't win no matter how much their sides are praying for it. God could prevent our loved one from dying, but then how could God ever let anyone die? And so if our suffering is the result of living in a broken world, is there a purpose to it? J.L. Mackey, a philosopher, argues, If a good and powerful God exists, he would not allow pointless evil. But because there is pointless evil in the world, then the traditional God must not exist. And a pastor named Timothy Keller argues back that tucked within the assertion that the world is filled with pointless evil is a hidden premise. Namely, if evil appears pointless to me, it must be pointless. But just because you and I don't know a good purpose for some of the things that happen in our world doesn't mean there is no purpose. We may simply lack the ability to understand it. After all, isn't it true that some of the things that have happened to us in life, we have haven't understood them until we've been able to look back. But it's only in hindsight, it's only when we're far removed from the situation that we've been able to look back and see what was happening in those moments. Those things when we were younger that we longed for and we didn't get, and we were crushed because God didn't give them to us. And now, from where we are, as we look back decades later, and we see that the best thing that God did for us was not give us what we wanted, because those things would have ruined us. The person you felt like perhaps you were in love with and you wanted to marry and your heart was broken, and then 20 years later you were able to look back and be grateful that God took your life in a different direction. That job that you lost and it tore apart your confidence, when you looked back on it later, you discovered that because of that, you took a risk and stepped into a new opportunity you would have never stepped into otherwise. And it was the best thing that ever happened to you. But in the moment, we couldn't see it. It all seemed so pointless. It all seemed so senseless what we were going through. And we could only understand it in looking back. So maybe there is a purpose, but we won't understand it until later. Maybe there's something God is trying to do in our lives to develop our character, to deepen a sense of trust in Him, to draw us out of isolation and into community. The question is, will we trust Him? Will we trust Him in the midst of the pain? Will we trust Him when the path is dark? Will we trust Him when we don't understand? Will we trust that God is at work in all of the issues and circumstances of our lives? As Romans 8:28 reminds us, that there's often something redemptive happening, that God works for the good of all of those who love Him and who've been called according to our purpose. That doesn't mean that what happens to us is good. It means that God can even take the worst circumstances of our lives and redeem them, to make something come out of them. And so where is God when you and I go through painful experiences? Well, that one I think we can answer, because we can look at the life of Jesus. Jesus gives us our best picture yet at who God is and how God acts and what God wants of us. And as Philip Yancey challenges us to do, look through the Gospels and see where Jesus is in the midst of pain and suffering when a tower falls and kills 18 innocent bystanders, when a widow loses her son, when a Roman soldier has a servant who's ill. Where is Jesus? He's right in the midst of it. He's present in those circumstances, and he experiences them with compassion. Compassion, a Latin word which means to suffer with. Jesus enters the suffering of people. Jesus suffers with those who are suffering. He mourns with those who are mourning. He weeps with people who weep. Then and now, Jesus enters our suffering and brings comfort and healing. He stands on the side of those who suffer. Is God removed from our suffering? No, not at all. But we could know that simply by looking at the passion narratives in the Gospels. Read especially in the Gospels about Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, and you'll understand that not even Jesus himself was exempt from suffering. That Jesus was mocked and beaten and crucified. That in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was under so much stress that he sweat blood. That Jesus suffered physically and emotionally and psychologically and spiritually in ways that you and I never will hopefully suffer. And perhaps what Jesus would say to us is, I won't always keep you from pain, but I want you to know that I understand it, that I have experienced it myself, and I promise I know what you're going through. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll enter your world of pain and sorrow and grief and experience it with you. Is God removed from our suffering? No. God knows what it's like to see a child die a horrible death, because he had to watch as Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, was beaten and crucified and killed by sinful people. This Almighty God, this God of the universe can identify with our suffering and can work in it to bring healing, hope, and redemption. And the scripture gives us the hope that someday all of the wrong things will be made right. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne." Evil is a powerful force in our world, but evil doesn't get the last word. God has the last word. And the last word will be a word of hope, a word of redemption. God will make all things new. And things will someday be once again as God intended them to be in the beginning. A place of shalom. A place of peace and wholeness and fullness. But in the meantime, we will suffer. We will not be exempt from it, but we do not suffer as people who lack hope. We have a God who understands our pain and sees a redemptive purpose in it. So lean into him. Lean on him and know that he cares for you. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Let's pray together. God, there's so many circumstances in life that if we had a choice, we would choose not to experience. And even though it doesn't keep us from going through them, it's a comfort to know that you go there with us. That as David said in one of the most familiar of all Psalms, that even if we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't go there alone. That you go with us. That you go with your rod to protect us, and that you go with your staff to direct us. That there's never a moment, whether it's of joy or of pain or suffering, that we have to experience apart from you. But that in everything, you're at work for some redemptive purpose that we may not understand. Help us to trust you, to lean on you, to seek you, even in the midst of darkness. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Listening to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, you may have reached a decision concerning your relationship with God, or you may want to find spiritual guidance for your life. Contact us this week at 502-896-8882 or online at smbclouisville.org. St. Matthew's Baptist Church is conveniently located at 3515 Grandview Avenue between Breckenridge and Cannons Lanes. Join us for worship in person this morning Bible study for all ages at 9:15, followed by worship at 10:30. If that's not possible, then join us here next week at 7 for Experiencing God's Love. From St. Matthew's Baptist Church, where we're loving and leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus.